Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The text selected for this message this afternoon is the epistle reading for today, as it is recorded in Timothy's second letter, or Paul's second letter to Timothy, the fourth chapter. This has been read. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I, for the last 11 years, systematically have managed to avoid doing what I'm doing today. That is, preach in front of my brothers who hold the office. And for good reason, the fear of preaching is a big thing. The onerous task of preaching has brought us together this week in order that we might study, learn, reflect, and possibly even reevaluate our own proclamation. And in examining Paul's emphatic plea to young Timothy, we see what a responsibility it is to be a preacher. Paul, in this charge to Timothy, doesn't give us a lot of latitude or freedom. There's a list of things to be done, imperatives to be followed, not questioned. Preach the word. Not a word, not my word, not your word, not someone else's word, but the word. That which belongs to God and the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Preach Him, and Him crucified, risen, and ascended for the salvation of the world. And by the way, don't just preach about Christ or the gospel. Preach Him, Christ, and preach it, the gospel. As a pastor, sometimes I think I shouldn't give out my email address, because very often some well-meaning parishioners send me these very pious-sounding stories, which allude to the gospel, but fall far short. Unfortunately, the attraction of these stories is that they tempt me. They tempt me to use them in the pulpit, but in the end they probably do more to obscure the gospel than to proclaim it. We're given the word to preach, and we can't do anything shy of that. And don't just do it when it feels right, or when you feel right. Set yourself to the task. In season, out of season, when the time is right and when it's not, when the company of the prophets is crying, peace, peace, and there is no peace, preach the word. Convince your hearers of their sin. Show them their fault. Prove to them that they bear the fruits of the old Adam. Make it personal. It's not the other guy in the pew, it's you. As the prophet Nathan said to King David, you are the man. Rebuke them on account of their sin. Protest it. Lament it. Show them that it leads to eternal death and damnation and separation from God for eternity. But then, when the law has done its killing work, speak comfort. Consolation, holy balm, healing, life to them. Encourage them with the word of forgiveness. Take them down the road to the cross where the battle with sin, death, and the devil are done to death in the death of Christ. Take them to Christ, who is there in his fullness, though hidden, for their forgiveness, life, and salvation. Patiently, with all teaching, with great patience, do all this.
Why?
What's the impetus for Paul's plea to Timothy and to us? The time is short. We're living in the end. The day of the Lord is at hand, and there's a world out there that has been died for in the death of Christ, and many in that world still don't know it. There's work to do, and you and I have been called to do it. Are you up to it? Am I? Consider what the future will bring. I don't need to tell you the hazards of faithful proclamation. You yourselves have often heard about them. Some of you have even endured them firsthand. Indeed, if in light of Paul's charge to Timothy, you are true to God's word in your preaching and ministry, afflictions great and numerous will assail you. That's true. You might not end up on a cross. You might not wind up beheaded. You might not lose your limbs. But people will challenge you. They'll contradict you, slander you, and yes, even despise you. That's because many, even some who are marked with the name of Christ, do not want to hear the truth. Instead, as Paul writes, the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The old Adam, telling them they can save themselves, will rear his ugly head. The word you proclaim will tell them otherwise, and there will be hell to pay. How are you doing today, Pastor? As good as I can be under the cross. Brothers in the Holy Office, what a fearful and frightful thing we have been set apart to do. Every time I look at this and other select passages from the pastoral epistles, my first inclination is to turn around and run as fast and as hard as I can in the opposite direction. Maybe go back to snoozing away the night shift in front of a control panel. There are plenty of jobs on the rigs up in northern Alberta that pay quite a bit and have no such responsibility. Even the McDonald's nearby pays $14.50 an hour to flip greasy burgers. It would be a lot easier. And I know I'm not alone thinking like this. Even our blessed forebear Luther once wrote, if I want to write about the burdens of a minister as I know and have experienced them, I would frighten all away from the office. It's no wonder we're tempted to do things the easy way, to soft sell sin and death and hell, to hold back on the law, to pander to popular opinion, to cater to felt needs and egos, including our own. To be sure, who among us doesn't love to hear those words, great servant, Pastor? In reality, we should probably be cringing at such a comment, wondering where we went wrong. And so the struggle for us pastors is to be faithful to God's word. It's an enormous task, impossible, humanly speaking, but we are not alone. For the same Christ who promised to be with his apostles is the one who has kept that promise and is with us. And the Holy Spirit that sent the early Christian church forward into the world is the same Spirit that descended upon us in the waters of our baptism. The same Spirit that continually points us to where Christ is located for us in his word, his baptism, his supper. The same Spirit that consoles and comforts us with the forgiveness of sins. We are the sons of Adam, and therefore sinners. Yes, even we pastors fail more than we like to admit. But the beautiful thing is that the same forgiveness that we are given to proclaim covers us as well. We shouldn't forget that. Too often we do. The word which kills and makes alive kills us too and raises us anew. The body and blood of Christ put into the mouths of our hearers for life and salvation also courses through our veins. The death and resurrection of Christ for our salvation is for us too. And with that in hand, we preach on. The Apostle Paul does set a rather high bar in front of us in today's epistle reading. A bar, in fact, which is nothing short of truth. However, it's not our bar. It's not my bar. It's that which belongs to the crucified and risen and ascended one, the Word of God incarnate. He is faithful to his word, and it has its way with us. And we faithfully bear that word to those entrusted to our care and to those in the world around us. That word will not return empty or void. That's a promise. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen. Amen. Amen.